When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello and welcome to Talking Point after the Styrian Grand Prix in 2021. Another win for Max Verstappen, his third win in four, and Red Bull looking very, very impressive this season. My name is Henry Valentine, and with me today is Charlotte Lyons from F-Series and the Purple Sector. Charlotte, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. Like, it's been a little while since the race finished, but there's already been plenty to digest from it. It wasn't the most entertaining in terms of how high the bar has been for this season, but what did you make of what happened?
I thought the first couple of laps were like quite exciting because obviously you had sort of the drama at the back of the field, and then obviously Lando was still up there in P3, and then along come Perez and Bottas. But I feel like the French Grand Prix, I know we give it stick, but that was actually more exciting than this one.
which sounds really counterintuitive, but I think that's just how the season's gone, really, hasn't it? It's been unexpected at every turn, but it's been nice in a way like that.
Yeah, it's been like everything is unexpected. Like, I don't go into any race weekend thinking I know what's going to happen anymore, because I just don't.
Well, that's how we all want it, though, isn't it? That's ultimately how we want the season to go. But like I said, another win for Max Verstappen, an 18-point lead in the World Championship now, and things are looking pretty good for Red Bull, aren't they?
Yeah, I think I'm really surprised by Red Bull, because I think from Bahrain we obviously saw like Lewis win, and there was like a sort of battle, but then it's literally been like that every single week. But this week it was just like Max was just so dominant. He just, from the get-go, he just went, and I think it just shows like how well Red Bull have improved this season, and I think it is going to be like this for the rest of the season. I don't see how Mercedes are going to catch them up.
Yeah, at least not at this moment in time anyway, because Toto Wolff said after the race that for the first time in turbo hybrid era, he feels that Mercedes just didn't have the pace, which feels like a big thing to admit. And he also said that they're not going to bring any more upgrades, but do you believe him?
I mean, I kind of want to believe him, but I kind of don't, because I just think if you're going to be performing like this and Red Bull's got this upper hand on you, you're going to want to give yourself an upgrade to try and at least fight back. But then also he said how they're like putting everything into like a new concept for next year's car. So I do kind of see where he would be coming from if they said we're not upgrading, but I think they need to upgrade to still be in the battle for the constructors, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. And Max Verstappen said after the race that Red Bull have been trying to bring improvements to their car to every race, and that's really shown over the weekend, because Verstappen and Hamilton were in an absolute class of their own. Like, they left Bottas about 30 seconds behind in the race, I think, at one point. And for those two to be so far ahead of everyone else and lapping Lando Norris in P5 as well, like, I think it shows that they are just above everyone else. But ultimately, Hamilton needs that machinery underneath him, because he really didn't have the pace, did he?
No, and I think I think he knows that as well. Like, obviously we know that Lewis has won everything for so long, and I think you can see like in his sort of post-race interviews now that he knows that like Mercedes needs to do something to make sure that Max doesn't keep winning, because it's not just Max. Like, we've seen Perez win as well, and it's not as if Perez is miles behind either. He is coming up, so it's like they need to do something to stop how dominant they are.
Exactly, and it's weird. They've almost been given a taste of their own medicine in the last few races, hasn't it? Because this is the first time since 2014 that that Mercedes haven't won in four races, which in itself seems absolutely baffling. But that just shows how strong they've been in all that time. And I mean, it's nice for us as fans as well to be able to watch it and like not know who's going to win.
Yeah, I think Mercedes fans now know how Red Bull and like Ferrari have felt for the past like 7 years, because it's just been so dominant by Mercedes, but now it's changing, and I think it's really good. And it's like, it means that we can go into a race weekend and actually sit back and see a battle every weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the first of two races at the Red Bull Ring as well. And like, can you see much changing next weekend? Because the cars will obviously be much more set up to their liking. They'll know exactly where they need to improve, but ultimately Lewis was on his radio asking how much he felt that Mercedes were losing on the straights alone to Red Bull, and they said it was about a quarter of a second. So that's quite a big gap on a short circuit, isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like they've obviously got this week to sort of set up the car more to suit the track, but I don't think there's going to be that big of a difference, just because it is literally, there will be air again on Thursday and it's already Monday. So I just don't see how there'll be a huge difference, but hopefully it's a bit more exciting, and maybe like the weather might come into play, who knows.
They were saying that all weekend, weren't they? They were saying, oh yeah, it's going to rain all weekend, and then there was none at all. So I mean, hopefully it'll be able to mix things up a bit, and there'll be softer compounds as well next weekend, so this weekend's hard tyres will not be on the agenda at all. So this week's mediums are going to be the hard tyres, and that could switch it to a two-stopper, which might make things a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, I think we always want a two-stopper just to like sort of switch up the strategies, and like actually do, like in France that would have been a perfect two-stop race. But yeah, I think obviously the tyre compounds will change it, because they do need to set their car up for that as well. So yeah, we might see a different sort of race. Maybe Lewis will be better this week. I don't really think he will, but maybe he will.
Yeah, exactly. But that's all for this weekend. And looking in the wider context of the championship then, Red Bull went 3 points further clear of Mercedes in the Constructors' Championship, and Max Verstappen now 18 points clear of Lewis Hamilton. So that lockup in Baku is looking even more important now, isn't it?
And that's the thing. I think every aspect of each race counts. Like, if Lewis hadn't locked up, he would have been ahead, and like that sort of stuff. But then also, 18 points isn't that many points in context in Formula One. That could just take Max to DNF or like something to happen with Red Bull, and Lewis will be straight back up there if he can capitalise on it. So yeah, I personally think that Red Bull will win the Constructors, just because of how the other Mercedes is sort of performing as well, and because Perez is really fitting in well with that team. So yeah, I think with Lewis and Max, anything can change, but I do think Red Bull have the upper hand over Mercedes right now.
And one big place that they've had upper hands throughout the whole season so far has been in the pits, hasn't it? And it was uncharacteristic of Red Bull to mess up their pit stop on Perez, and it was 4.8 seconds, which in the grand scheme of things really isn't that long at all, but that ultimately cost him a place on the podium in the end, didn't it?
Yeah, and I think if you look back to, was it Baku as well, where they sort of had a long pit stop with Perez as well, and it's like, okay, this is so weird for Red Bull, because they've always got 1.8s, 1.9s. But yeah, ultimately that did sort of lose him the podium. But again, he was so close to get, I think, half a lap more, he would have got Bass for the third place, so yeah.
That's exactly what he said after the race as well, wasn't it? He opted to take an extra stop, and he was just reeling Bottas in like, well over a second a lap, but he was right on his tail on the last corner, but he just ultimately couldn't get there. But that'll be a good little confidence booster for Bottas, though, being able to sort of fight up there again after a couple of really tough weekends for himself.
Yeah, I think it was probably a major thing for him to actually get on the podium, because he's like, okay, I'm still good enough to be here, especially with all the rumours about George coming in and taking his seat or him being dropped. So I think that would definitely help him, and we might see next week where he actually capitalises on this result and does really well.
Yeah, you'd hope so for his sake as well, because like he's had a really rough time of it, and And you know, I'm very much in the camp of like, I have absolutely no idea what's going to happen to him next season. It'll be great to see George Russell get an opportunity in that Mercedes, but ultimately, it still feels like Bottas' seat to lose, and things really haven't gone that well for him. So that's nice to see him back up there again, isn't it?
Yeah, like you said, I feel like everyone kind of wants George in there, but also, if Valtteri still does get podiums, it's like you can't really kick someone out if they're still getting regular podiums. So yeah, like you said, it's literally his seat to lose now.
Yeah, and then looking further down the field then, yeah, another podium for Bottas, Perez getting P4, and Lando Norris yet again, another top five finish. And he said that's kind of lost his wow factor now, but the wow to us is still pretty strong, isn't it? He's having a brilliant season.
Yeah, I think it really shows that how well like McLaren have like come up again, like, because Lando's getting consistent points, and I think it also shows that he's maturing as a driver as well. And for him to come out and say like, that's sort of like boring now that I'm getting, like, it's the title, I'll keep getting points, it's like, that just shows that I think he wants more, like he knows that he can get more and he wants more. So yeah, I think it's really exciting right now.
I feel like even more so now, McLaren have done well to actually sign him up so early in the season, because like, if he wasn't signed for next year, it does make you wonder like who would be eyeing him up for a drive next year.
Well, yeah, definitely. If you look at how many points they've got so far as a whole of McLaren, most of them are from Lando. He's had two podiums already, consistently in the top five. Like, I think he is McLaren's future, but any team could have come in and been like, we want you, come here. Do you know what I mean? Like, so they did do really well signing him so quickly.
On the other side of the garage, poor old Daniel Ricciardo again. I mean, he looked quick in practice, and then he admitted on Saturday that he just did not know where his pace went overnight. It was another elimination in Q2, a P13 start for him. He managed to get himself up five places in the first lap, back up into the top 10, and then he had a power issue which saw him lose all his progress again, and then just ultimately got caught in the midfield. So it's two real contrasting fortunes at the moment for them.
I do wonder if what was the issue in the race was actually the issue in the qualifying as well, because I don't see how, obviously last weekend at France he had quite a good weekend as well, so I thought, oh, he's on the up, and then on the Friday practice he was doing really well, and then obviously Saturday out on Q2, and then Sunday still not even in the points. So I do wonder if the issue on the Sunday was the same issue that they had maybe on the Saturday qualifying. But yeah, it's not really looking great, and I just feel like it's such a shame, because I feel like he fits in really well, and I feel like McLaren would be properly fighting for P3 if Daniel was getting regular points. And I feel like with one side of the garage not getting regular points, it will lose them that sort of spot against someone like Ferrari or even the AlphaTauris, because they've been performing really well recently as well.
Yeah, they have, and it does make you wonder like what the solution is for him at the moment, because in sort of defense of him, Sebastian Vettel said it after the race, he was wedged in that midfield battle as well, and because the Red Bull Ring's a short circuit, everyone's really closely matched, so he got caught in a bit of a DRS train, so he couldn't really overtake many people in front of him, and Ricciardo just ended up in the same situation. So it does make you wonder that if he hadn't had that issue, like how much he would have been able to push on, because Lance Stroll managed to get good points out of it in his Aston Martin. And, you know, if Ricciardo had been at the head of that, it does make you wonder how much further he would have been able to go.
Well, yeah, if you look how many places he gained so quickly in the first couple of opening laps, he could probably have gone on and carried on doing that throughout the whole lap, just like Lance. But obviously that power issue came in. So, yeah, I do think he's, like, working better in there. Obviously, like, the France was great, and then obviously Friday was great as well. But I don't know, I don't know what to suggest for him, because I just feel like it's like a step forward and then it like steps back straight away.
Yeah, and he did eye this triple header as being the time to really bed into the car and really get to grips with what he's doing, but he's had a good weekend in France, and it's just followed by this massive dip, so his response this weekend is going to be huge for him.
Yeah, I feel like this weekend he really needs to like pull something out the bag, because like you said, he said this triple header is like how I want to be embedded in a team, and to go for having a really good first race and then the second race in triple header is not that great, like he's obviously disheartened, so he really does need to sort of pull him out the bag this week and get his confidence back.
And you really hope so for his sake as well, because I don't really know about that many people who aren't fans of Daniel Ricciardo. I mean, Zak Brown came out in his defence as well, saying, you know, you don't win seven races by accident. And it's absolutely true. But it does make you wonder if Lando Norris has almost been underestimated on the grid, really.
I think Lando has really, like, grown a lot this season, and I don't think we actually realised that he was that good just because of how good Carlos is as well. Because obviously Carlos would outperform Lando on the Sundays, but Carlos is so underrated as well, and it's not until Carlos has gone to Ferrari that people have actually realised, oh my god, he's actually really good. And now I think Daniel coming into McLaren, I think Lando sort of realised, like, I cannot be in the shadows anymore, and I think he's shown that, like, he's done so well so far this season, so I think that's really good. Like, I think he's just improving and improving and improving.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the subject of Carlos Sainz as well, he probably had the sort of underrated drive of the day, didn't he? Because he started in P12, he went long in his first stint to I think he went to lap 42 in the end, or 43 to before his first pit stop, and then he was able to jump pretty much everyone in front of him and ended up P6. So that's a really good race for him.
Yeah, I can't believe he didn't actually get voted driver of the day. Like, he, I think we never see him either. Like, he's never shown, so we don't actually see how good he is. But yeah, like, his comeback from P12 to where P6, like, that was really good. Especially, like you said, there was a lot of the DRS train in the midfield. So for him to sort of leave that and get up there into the points, that's, like, really good as well. And to be, like, with Charles, like, Ferrari scored a lot of points this weekend compared to McLaren, so...
Yeah, P6 and P7 for Ferrari. So, you know, managed to claw back that gap a little bit to McLaren. But ultimately, Charles Leclerc won driver of the day. And, it, you know, it was a really good turnaround for him. He called it one of his best performances in Formula 1 after the race. You know, he had to come in on the first lap after contact with Pierre Gasly. And, you know, he was just fighting his way back up there, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think obviously after the first lap sort of incident that happened, he really was fighting his way through the field. Like, he was so far behind, but he came back and he literally went through everyone, like the overtakes he was doing to get up back up to the point. So yeah, obviously, like, we have to look at the incident that happened in the first sort of couple of laps. Like, that's why I didn't give him driver of the day, because I thought he just caused an incident. But his driving after that, if that hadn't happened the first lap, he definitely would have got driver of the day in my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he started P7 on the day as well, so starting and finishing where he ended up on the grid after having contact and having to pit on the first lap and take a two stop where most people ended up taking a one stop. I think that, you know, that's a real show of how impressive his drive was. And to be fair to him, I think driver of the day was pretty fair in the end. He made some great moves. I can remember his one on Esteban Ocon as well, around the outside at turn four, that sort of plunge down the hill. That was really brave, that one, wasn't it?
Yeah, he did so many overtakes at turn four. Like, that was what was keeping me entertained, like, after, like, that there. He just overtake everyone on turn four.
Yeah, that's probably a sign of how the race was at the front, to be fair, bar Perez's final stint. But, you know, it's good to see Ferrari back competing again, because they've had this lingering tyre issue, which they're not 100% sure they'll be able to fix properly before the end of the season. But they looked a bit stronger this weekend, didn't they?
Yeah, it did look promising for them. And that also means it looks promising for them in the championship as well, especially, like what we said, if Daniel Ricciardo is still not getting the points that we expect from him, that is a big bonus to Ferrari, and they will look to keep getting more points like that.
Exactly. And then, well, they've only got a few days of turnaround to be able to do it, but unfortunately we have to mention poor old George Russell. What a sad race for him. After missing out on Q3 by 8 milliseconds, getting promoted to P10 for the start of the race after Yuki Tsunoda got a grid penalty, was running comfortably in P8 during the race as well, and then he came into the pits. Looked like his team were trying to fish something out of his right side pod, but obviously that issue just kept going, because he was in the pits for 18 seconds that first time, and then he had to come back in a couple of laps later to try and fix it. But ultimately he had to retire from the race, and if he didn't have bad luck, he wouldn't have any luck at all, would he?
He's honestly, I just think he's the most unlucky F1 driver I've ever watched. Like, I just think, well, as soon as I heard the radio message saying plan B for reliability, I was just like, something is going to go wrong here. Like, I think that just shows that Williams is not ready to be up in that sort of battle. But he was driving it so well. Like, he looked like it belonged up there. And obviously when we heard that and then he pitted and it was 18 seconds, I was like, no, something's not right. And then obviously he went back in again and was sat there again, and I was like, they're going to retire. And then he went back out and I was like, okay. But then he pitted again and then he actually retired. So yeah, it's really sad for him. Obviously he did really well all weekend, so hopefully they can do like well like that again next weekend. But I just don't see how they're going to get points if their car cannot sort of sit in that sort of battle for that long.
But it's good to see Williams actually being able to compete in that area again, even if it is with Russell alone. But you have to give Latifi credit, because even though he was knocked out in Q1, I think he was only a tenth behind Russell in Q1 as well. But because the margins were so fine, he ended up being knocked out. But to see Williams sort of in there again is at least encouraging for them.
Yeah, it's definitely promising as well, because obviously they've got new owners now, so more money that they can put into the car. So I think it is really exciting to see them battling back up there. And like you said, Latifi, I think we need to give him some credit as well. Like he was that close to George, just because everyone else was that close to George that he was knocked out in Q1.
You have to give credit to George Russell after after he retired as well, because they played his team radio message, and he effectively just said to his team, like, don't worry, we're all in this together, we'll come back stronger. And like, if I was in his position, I don't think I'd be able to be so level-headed about it, to be honest.
Yeah, like, I feel like George is a really good team member to have, because he is so calm, and I think he's a really good team player. Like, if something goes wrong, he's like, okay, I know I'm feeling this right now, but we've got a whole team that are feeling exactly the same. So yeah, like, his team radio, bless him, like, it's all right, don't worry, we've still got next week, it's all right. But yeah, like, I just feel so bad for him, because this would have been a great weekend for him to get points.
Like, you can't help but feel like it's just a curse now, isn't it? Like, are those first Williams points ever going to come for him?
I honestly don't know. I feel like he'll be announced for Mercedes before he even gets a point for the Williams.
Oh god, but if you feel for the three seasons that he's had there, you kind of feel like he deserves that, just that one break, like, even if it's one P10 finish. Like, that's just all he needs, isn't it? Just for that confidence boost, if nothing else.
Yeah, and I don't even think just for him. Like, imagine how happy the team will be if they even get one point. Like, they haven't had points for so many years now. That one point would be like, yes, we've actually got one. Like, great. Like, the confidence would be so high in that team. So hopefully it comes. I really want it to.
Looking in the wider context of the race as well, like, further down the field, like we mentioned in our previous show about Esteban Ocon getting a new 3-year deal at Alpine, but he looks absolutely nowhere this weekend, and whereas Fernando Alonso, on the other hand, is just getting quicker and quicker, isn't he?
Yeah, obviously when Ocon announced his deal, I was a bit surprised. It sort of came out of nowhere, but I was like, okay, he's actually been performing like really well, and then since then it's been a bit like, I've signed the deal now, that's fine, I can just sort of sit back. But then Fernando, who I didn't think would be that great against Ocon, has really like pulled out the bag. He's been doing really well.
Exactly, and he actually said during qualifying that his car was quote beautiful to drive, which you know, Alonso over the past, if he was in that sort of position in a McLaren, you don't know if that would have been the same sort of radio message, really.
Yeah, like, I feel like, oh my god, he's actually happy with his car, like, in wherever he was, P7. I was like, wow. Like, before, he'd be like, why am I not P4 or P3? So it's like really nice to see the sort of change in him. I think he's just happy to be driving again.
Yeah, and now he looks fully up to speed again. Ocon's sort of been in a shadow in the last couple of races, so even though he's just signed this big new deal, he's going to have to start, you know, picking up his ideas again this weekend, isn't he?
Yeah, like, he needs to be back where he was before he signed the deal, and like, still competing, like, sort of against Fernando, because I think they do work really well as a team, but obviously you don't really want one driver being leaps and bounds above the other driver.
Yeah, absolutely, and that can't be too good for the team as a whole as well. But I feel like we need to mention Yuki Tsunoda as well. He got himself into Q3, would have qualified P8, but he got a 3-place grid penalty for impeding Valtteri Bottas on his flying lap. But he managed to get in the points as well, which will be a nice little moment for him as well, because he mentioned that he had a call with Helmut Marko in the week, and I can't imagine that being too much fun if you're not in his good books.
Yeah, I think that was definitely needed, the result yesterday. Obviously, he did really well in qualifying, but he got that 3-place grid penalty, which obviously, yes, I agree, but I feel like he didn't know that he was there, which is kind of like, okay. But like, taken out of context, like, he did really well yesterday to get back in the points and sort of stay there the whole race. Obviously, with Pierre losing out in the first lap incident, like, AlphaTauri really did need him in the points, and he really did, like, prove that he can be up there.
Yeah, which is only good for the team as well, because poor Pierre Gasly as well, he looked set for another really strong race, so have to feel bad for him on that front. But just outside the points was Kimi Raikkonen as well. I think he gained more places than anyone. He started P18, finished P11, which was a really strong race for him. But you know, when you can have a strong race and then not finish in the points, that must be a little bit demoralizing.
Yeah, especially when you're P11 and so close to P10. But like for Kimi to get from P18 to P11 in an alpha, like it shows he's still got it. Like he's still, I know he says it's just a hobby, but he still has the talent to be here.
Yeah, exactly. And can Kimi Raikkonen get demoralised? Is that a thing?
I don't think he actually cares to be demoralised, to be honest.
No. How many people can say they're driving the Formula One as like just for a hobby as well? That's amazing.
He's just there for the fun.
And you know what? Even though like talk keeps swirling year after year about his retirement, like if he ends up being replaced by Mick Schumacher next year in that Alpha, he'll probably be happy enough with the career he's had. To be fair.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's been in Formula One since I can remember, and he's still doing well. So I don't feel like he'd be looking back at his career and be like, "No, it's not been that good." Like he's still here, like he's still getting results. So yeah,
fair play to him. But looking at the rest of the field, the two Haas drivers got pretty close again, didn't they? And I can't tell if it was a nice or a weird moment that Gunther Steiner gave Nikita Mazepin a little spinning top for being Nikita Mazepin. Is that a good thing for your team principal to be giving you?
I mean, I know it was a joke, but I'd be kind of like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, what are you trying to say? But then also, I think if you look back at how him, Gunther Steiner and Roman used to joke about and stuff like that, I feel like now Roman's gone, he's got to nicely bully someone else in the team. So I think that is going to be Nikita Mazepin. But yeah, I feel like Mick and Nikita, they keep coming, like not coming together, but they keep fighting on track because obviously they're at the back fighting each other. But sometimes I feel like, okay, this is a good, decent racing battle. But then other times I'm like, this is going to end in disaster.
it does make you wonder. I mean, they're both rookies ultimately. And like you say, they're probably going to be fighting each other. But it's still a little bit dicey for them as well. And I don't think Gunther Steiner can take the mic too much, considering Mazepin's dad sponsors the team. That's probably not the best look, is it?
No, he probably should stop doing that. I think there's been in top opinion.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes on that one. But you know, at least he didn't spin too many times this weekend. I think it was maybe one or two in practice.
Yeah, I think it was maximum two. I didn't see him spin any more.
No, so, but
that's an improvement, I suppose.
Oh God. All right, Mr. Mazepin, if you're hearing this, you didn't hear anything of what we just said. But you know, Mick Schumacher again, he was ahead of Latifi in the Williams. I mean, granted, Latifi got pretty heavily damaged on the first lap as well, so it's a bit of a shame for him, but he did manage to get past, and you know, a bit more confidence for him.
Yeah, especially after like when he had been driving with a crooked seat all season, or
and his mum noticed it. His mum was the one who noticed it.
Like how have you not told them? So when this is the eighth race, how have you not told them that your seat's not comfortable, like whatever? But yeah, I think between them sort of teammates, it's like really close, because when you look at sort of quali, they're like, it's like all over the place. Or when you look in the race, like sometimes one's like 1 minute behind, 30 seconds behind. So I do think it is really close. But yeah, I feel like Mick, I feel like, I don't know, like when I look at Haas, I feel like Mick's the better driver. But that's just because of like, he formed in F2 and like his like sort of quali results and race results. But yeah, I think he should be confident, especially if this like sort of swap to Alpha is kind of, in his head, like he could be like, okay, I'm going to be going to a better in speech marks team.
Yeah, and ultimately they're a Ferrari owned team as well, and he's in Ferrari's driver academy, so that is a move that would make sense if he's doing well. But that talk has only really emerged in the last week or so, and he was asked about it at the weekend, and he was very diplomatic, just saying, you know, focused on the here and now, not really thinking about anything else. But would you see that as a logical step for him to take next season?
I mean, I would see it as a logical step. He's had a season for experience in the Haas. To step up into a team that's actually owned by a Ferrari, he could take the Ferrari seat or even the Sauber seat in that Alfa Romeo. So I do feel like it would be a logical step for him. Obviously, if they want him to, I feel like he should take it. But if not, he could still probably have another year in the Haas and get more experience before making a move to a different team.
Well, Charles Leclerc worked well in that team, didn't he? And it didn't go too badly for him in the end.
Exactly. And I feel like he will be in a Ferrari sometime in the future just because of it's Mick Schumacher. So
it's meant to be, but well, if the current Ferrari pair keep going as they are, I don't know if they'll be that willing to change at the moment, because you mentioned Carlos Sainz earlier. They're only separated by 8 points, Leclerc and Sainz as well, and to go from Vettel having such a poor season last year, it's nice to see the sort of whole Ferrari team and effectively Ferrari brand competing again, because their engine is much improved as well. And if Mick's put in that Alpha next year in an engine that could potentially compete a little bit higher up, we might be able to see a bit more about what he's about, mightn't we?
Yeah, definitely. I think if he did move to a sort of another team that do, like, if we see Kimi going from P18 to P11 in an Alfa Romeo, there's nothing stopping Mick doing that if he was in that Alfa Romeo as well. So I do think we'd be able to see sort of more from him if he did move. But I think he's doing all right now. Like, he's doing the best that he can in that car. So, like, we've just got to see what he is doing in the rest of the season.
As we mentioned as well, so coming straight up this weekend is the Austrian Grand Prix, also at the Red Bull Ring. How much do you reckon will change this weekend within the field? Do you reckon it'll be more of the same, or like who do you think might make the most improvements over the course of the week?
I think the midfield battle will be like more, because I feel like the top sort of teams won't change that much. I still think it will be Max, Hamilton, Bottas and Perez sort of batting it at the top. But I feel like we saw such good performances from the AlphaTauris and Lance and Aston Martin. So I feel like the midfield battle will be a bit more intense just because they've got used to the track, and like they did, like there was a big battle between them this week. So yeah, I feel like the midfield will be a bit different. The front probably sort of similar just because it's them two teams, but the midfield I think will be different this week.
Yeah, exactly. At least with a couple of variables with the tyres, you'd hope it might lead to a bit of a different outcome, and hopefully a more entertaining race as a result. I mean, it wasn't the worst race in the world, but like we said at the start, it just shows how high the bar has been this season so far.
Yeah, I think like the fact that everyone was expecting Barcelona and France to be the worst races, and they actually turned out to be pretty good races, just shows that this season is so unpredictable and anything could actually happen.
Exactly, and we will be here to preview it all with you in the week. And make sure you head to planetf1.com for all of your pre-racing news and views from around the paddock, and make sure you follow us on social media as well. We are planetf1.com on Instagram, planet_f1 on Twitter, and just planetf1 on Facebook, and you'll be able to find us. Charlotte, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It was a very good chat, as normal.
No problem at all. And anyway, thank you very much for listening to Talking Point, and we will be speaking to you in the week.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.